Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to go to a man who is a partner at Lipsitz, Green, Skamay, and Cambria, and he would be Robert Boreanaz. Thank you very much, Mr. Boreanaz. Appreciate your time.
Hi, good afternoon, Tom.
And by the way, just so you know, if Paul ever wants to bring you out with us to Bobby J's, I would suggest you come out and sit at the big person's table, okay? Just putting it out there for your consideration. Now, let's talk about the situation at hand. You are the representative of which union at Sumitomo Rubber?
We represent the unions are the workers that build the tires, but also we represent the workers that are injured through workers' comp for the past 60 years out of Dunlop or Sumitomo.
Specifically, which unions? Can you name them all or the biggest
ones?
No,
it's not appropriate at this point. Given some of the discussions that have happened over the last 6 hours. And so, it wouldn't be appropriate for me to disclose that at this point.
Okay, fair enough. I understand that. First of all, I want to ask you about something that I had forgotten about. It had been so long since it had come up, but the WARN Act of 1988. We have a situation here where 1,550 workers basically found out without any notice whatsoever that they no longer had jobs, and they show up to barricades and security guards. Can you explain the WARN Act and whether there's reason to believe that there might be a violation of this?
Yeah, so we're just digesting the circumstances of the communications to the employees. But under the federal WARN Act, what you just described, generally they're supposed to be providing of a plant closure of this size, 60 days advance notice of the closure. Under New York law, there is an expansion of that to be 90 days advance notice of a plant closing. And generally speaking, plants in New York are going to be held to that higher standard of providing 90 days advance notice. And so when most of the times when we get involved with WARN Act issues, the question becomes, how many people are they laying off? Are they actually laying people off? Are they closing the plant? Are they not closing the plant? Does the WARN Act apply? And are they required to provide some type of notice? From what we're seeing right now, it clearly applies. There is an intent for a mass closure. And so there would be requirement to comply with both the federal WARN Act and the state WARN Act. And right now, it seems like they have not done that. Now, the day's not over yet. We don't know what's going to happen, over the next several hours. And we don't know what's going to happen over the next several days. But we do see potential violations of both the state and federal WARN Acts.
Are you at liberty, Mr. Boreanaz, to tell us whether you've had specific conversations regarding the WARN Act with the attorneys representing the company?
No, not at this point. We have not had that line of communication open, and we have not had those discussions at this point of this conversation of the day.
Is, you know, given the federal and state statutes, is this a situation where, as an attorney, you can reach out to the New York State Attorney General as well as United States senators and representatives for some assistance in this?
Yeah, those efforts are underway. You know, the biggest thing with the Warren Act violations are the penalties, you know, up to $500 per employee per day. And so, you know, it could be significant. Generally speaking, when these things happen along these ways, there's some bargaining that goes on between the labor unions and the employer. To address potential violations of the Warren Act and or the last days of employment, if there are going to be any last days of employment. And it's still unclear at this point if it is a 100% shutdown, not one employee is coming in. Those details just aren't clear at this point.
And I don't want to ask a stupid question, but I'm kind of known for that. What difference does it make? Because we've heard from a number of employees, and according to the facts that they have represented to us, they showed up at work and were told, you don't have a job anymore. There was no warning. They simply were greeted by barricades and security guards.
Well, that's certainly what we're hearing as well, and that's certainly the feedback and the facts that we're getting. But it's tough to collect all of that in a very short period of time and make sure that it's reliable. These things do have a tendency of taking a few days to sort out. But that is consistent with what we're being told, that it was a complete lockdown and, you know, secrecy of night kind of thing, and workers were not permitted to come in.
Now, I don't want to get too bogged down in the details, but I think they're kind of important. On the federal level, is this something that would be handled by the Department of Labor?
The U.S. Department of Labor would be involved. You know, locally, it's not something that would normally be handled at the local level. It'd be more likely handled at the regional level. And in this instance, I would expect the U.S. Department of Labor to be in contact with them, if not already today, by as early as tomorrow.
And what are the key standards of proving a violation of the Warren Act?
Well, so the first thing, as I indicated earlier in the conversation here, is that to determine that the Warren Act does apply to this particular event. And I don't think there will be much time spent on trying to convince the regulators or the state or federal prosecution team that the Warren Act does apply. The next question will be, is what is going to be the enforcement mechanism? Is it going to be an enforcement that is going to be negotiated, or is it going to be an enforcement that's going to be litigated? And generally speaking, we won't know the answer to that for weeks, if not a month or more.
And we're talking about a civil and not a criminal matter?
Absolutely. It would not be a criminal matter per se. It would be a civil matter.
Does it matter at all where the home office is of a given company, or is it a question of the jurisdiction in which they're doing business?
No, the jurisdiction is in the site of the location of the employment. So the fact that the location is owned or the employer is owned by somebody outside of New York does not matter at all. They're bound to and must comply with the laws in New York, as well as the U.S. Warren Act.
Are you at liberty to tell us whether you've any conversations scheduled with management or the corporate attorneys?
No.
You're not at liberty to tell us that?
That's correct.
Okay. the stories that we've heard are pretty gut-wrenching, and I'm sure that you've spent a lot of time talking with the various union officials of those unions that you represent. Can you lay the table for us a little bit with the sense of betrayal or outrage or shock or sadness? What are some of the emotions that are coming forward to you?
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I have not myself spoken with any of the employees directly, but what I am hearing indirectly is that there is absolute shock and dismay by the employees. You know, you wake up one morning, your life is as normal and routine as you could think. You grab your coffee, you're on your way to work. And, you know, for whatever you're doing, you're having a plan for the week or the weekend, and everything is shut down, and your life is completely turned upside down. You know, you start immediately thinking about, you know, how am I going to pay my bills, my plans or purchases that were expected. You have to be changed and altered, and everything comes to a screeching halt. And, you know, it really takes its toll on not just the employee, but their families, and also, as you mentioned, really at the top before I came on, you know, the community. I mean, the local taverns where people cash their checks, the places where people will buy things, even the locations where, you know, workers are buying safety equipment to go to work at. It's just devastating. It's irresponsible, and it's shocking.
Sure. I mean, in the summertime, I'm sure quite a few of those people after work head down to the River Grill and check out live music and recount the day at work and have a good time. And if they're not going to be in that location, that's part of a customer base that may be lacking, as well as the other establishments in that area. Now, you talked about the fine up to, as I understand it, $500 per affected worker. What determines the level of the fine? Is it the income of the individual, or is it the impunity with which the law may have been disregarded?
Well, it does involve those factors as well. It involves a sense of the circumstances of why the violation occurred. Was it willful in the sense of, you know, was there some catastrophic event that happened that required the company to close the plant down that was outside of their control? Then there may be some arguments to be made that the fine should be at the lower end of that $500 scale. So, you know, if it was events or circumstances that were outside of the control of the employer that caused this, then maybe it would be less than that. But those are difficult things for employers to try and demonstrate. You know, I've been doing this a long time, and I've never been persuaded, frankly, that you have a company that had such an event that happened so quickly that they couldn't have planned for this in order to provide either 60 or 90 days advance notice of the closing. I believe that this company knew that this was coming. And they perhaps willfully did not provide the notice that they're required to provide.
Well, one would think that corporate attorneys in a manufacturing setting would certainly be aware of the Warren Act of 1988. That does not seem unreasonable. Now, the fines...
Well, these things are generally done from business people that make business decisions, you know, where they've made a... They understand the risk, and, you know, they just decide from a business standpoint, or from logistics, or... movement of product or movement of operations, that they have to decide whether or not the penalties that might be imposed by the Warren Act outweigh those benefits of moving quickly or of making the decision in such a short time frame.
Whatever those fines turn out to be, if in fact there have been violations of the Warren Act of 1988, who gets the money? The workers themselves?
Yeah, like I said before, generally these are situations that that get negotiated through the labor unions that represent the affected workers. And generally speaking, you know, the state or federal people monitor those discussions. And if they're satisfied, the state and the federal people are satisfied with the negotiations, you know, that they meet the objectives of the Warren Acts, then they would go along, so to speak, with negotiated benefits that flow from the employer directly to the employees. But none of that is given, and none of that is for certain. And right now, you know, people, employees are going to be struggling to hold on to things and see what comes down the line, if anything.
Indeed. Mr. Boreanaz, I've got about 1 minute. Is there anything I should have asked you that I did not ask you?
Well, no, there's something I should have asked you. If I'm going to come out with you in Cambria to a bar to have some drinks, I'm hoping Paul's going to be paying for them. I'm not sure if he would, but I'm hoping he would be paying.
Actually, what we usually do is dine and dash. That's generally our policy. Thank you very much, Mr. Boreanaz. Appreciate your time kindly. Thank you so much.
Have a good day.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.